The scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. If you'd like to follow along, it's in your the Bible under the seat in front of you on page 1145. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17. And I might add that if there are any of you here who yet don't own a Bible in your household and would like to, it's not just a Christmas gift. It's for every Sunday that we meet here. These Bibles are available to you for your home if you'd like to take it with you. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17. Hear the word of God. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Praise be to God.
Would you pray with me? Father, I ask that the words of my mouth, I ask that the meditations and the thoughts of our hearts would be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. I believe that 2007 may be a watershed year for Grace Community Church. We've just spent the last year putting up a structure across the street with the belief that God is calling us to a continued action in ministry in the Hudson Valley, and with an anticipation that God is moving in this community to draw people to himself through Jesus Christ. I believe that with the opening and use of our facility across the street, we will not only be ushering in a new era in a place to worship, but we'll need to take it upon ourselves to be strategic and deliberate in reaching out and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the community around us. I believe that we are being given a fresh opportunity to reach our community for Christ. And to borrow another biblical teaching, to whom much has been given, much will be required. And we have been given much. I believe that we stand on a field with a hill in the distance that is crying out to be taken. On that hill, I believe, are the men, women, and children of our community who are without hope in their lives, who are going to spend an eternity in hell because they are condemned by their sins. And frankly, I am tired of sitting back and doing relatively little to change this. My purpose this morning is not an academic pursuit to discuss the merits of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My purpose is to motivate all of us who profess faith in Christ, including myself, to live our lives with the gospel as the center of our lives. This morning we're going to look at four key thoughts regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul will speak about the motivation of the gospel. He will speak about the source of the gospel. He will speak about the viewpoint of the gospel. And he will speak about the gift of the gospel. So if you're not already there, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And again, we will be looking at verses 14 through 17 this morning. The first key thought in Paul's comments reminds us of the motivation of the gospel. And motivations are very hard things for us to figure out. They're hard things for us to discover, because motivations are internal. And we typically don't know anything about them until somebody tells us what their motivation for doing something is. But understanding someone's motivation allows us to trust them. It allows us to follow them. And it gives us a glimpse into their soul. And Paul is clear on his own motivation for preaching the gospel, and we learn something very important about his motivation for preaching the gospel as well. We learn that his motivation for preaching the gospel is not centered in Paul. It's not centered in himself. Paul's motivation for preaching the gospel is centered in Jesus Christ's own motivation for ministry. You see, the motivation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is Jesus' love for all humanity. Paul says it like this in the beginning of verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us." You see, the driving influence or the controlling impulse convincing Paul to preach the gospel is not Paul's own desire for acclaim. It's not Paul's own sense of satisfaction or self-worth. It is not even Paul's desire to be recognized as a great missionary or minister. It's not even Paul's love for Jesus that motivates him. What drives Paul, what pushes him on through the good times, what pushes him on through the bad times and the times of trouble in his life, is that Jesus loves humanity. And Paul is responding to that. The gospel is not about you or me. I am not the good news. Jesus is. You did not die for sin. Jesus did. The gospel is about Jesus Christ, the God-man, loving humanity and wanting to be reconciled to them, wanting to have relationship with them. Not about me wanting to have that. Not about me loving humanity. The motivation of the gospel and of our preaching the gospel to others is not our love or our commitment or our ability to use whatever gifts God has given us. Our motivation simply and succinctly is to be found in Christ's love for others, not our love for Christ. And when we are able to clearly define our motivation for proclaiming the gospel, that it is Jesus Christ's love for humanity, Paul then takes that and he moves us further into what it means to preach the gospel by pointing us to this second key, which is the source of the gospel. And the source of the gospel is quite simply Jesus Christ's self-sacrifice for others. Look again at verse 14. "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." And what Paul has in view is the self-sacrificial death on the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus did not die for doing something wrong himself. Nor did he die because he was tricked into it or because the powers that be just overcame him. The Bible teaches that Jesus died willingly, of his own account, by his own choice, so that you and me could have the punishment and guilt of our sin removed, and so that we could be reconciled, be put back into relationship with God. And as Christians, we begin to own the motivation of the gospel and the source of the gospel in our own lives when we recognize that Jesus' self-sacrifice for others is a model of the life that we are now to live as followers motivated by Jesus' love for humanity. Paul says in verse 15, "And he died for all," speaking of Jesus, "that those who live," speaking of us, "should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." You see, the source of the gospel is Jesus' self-sacrificial death for us. And this source finds life in our lives as believers in Christ by doing that very same thing, living self-sacrificially for others. And in doing that, we love Christ and thus live like Christ. We see others as more important than ourselves. And the natural question that's asked is, how do we put aside our own desires, ambitions, etc. for others? Because this is an idea that is at the opposite spectrum of the world that we live in. The motivation and source of our society is to look out for who? Number one, look out for yourself. Take care of yourself first, and then if you think about it, go ahead and take care of others. You know, if you get around to it someday, maybe. But how do we put aside self? Because that's the real issue. How do we put aside our own ambitions? How do we put aside what we want to do and serve self-sacrificially for others? Well, we do that the same way that Jesus did. He chose it. Now, I could stand here and I could provide you all kinds of word pictures on how you could go about practically living self-sacrificially every day of your life for other people. But you know what the truth of the matter is? You all know how to do that. You know the times when you've done it. You know the times when you've failed at it. The real issue is, will you choose it of your life? Will you choose to do that? Will you be willing to sacrifice yourself for other people? Understanding motivations helps us to discover the source that action springs from. Understanding the source that action springs from changes the way that we view things and how we see things. And more importantly, it changes our view of people themselves. The third key thought from Paul's comments about the gospel concerns how we look at people. You see, the viewpoint of the gospel is about the heart. It's not about outward appearances. The viewpoint of the gospel is not concerned about what people say or how they look or what their background might be or what they've done in their lives. The viewpoint of the gospel is concerned with one thing, that humanity is separated from God by sin. And this humanity is in need of a Savior to rescue them from the punishment that their sins deserve. It's not about outward appearance. It's about the heart. And Paul says in verse 16, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." And what Paul is saying is that at one time in his life, he regarded every person within an us-them dichotomy. Before Christ, Paul did not see people as lost and under the penalty of death before God because of their sin. Paul saw people as Jew and non-Jew, as righteous and unrighteous, as those who pleased God and those who didn't. And at one point in Paul's life, as with all of us, he cared only about what he saw on the outside. If he was impressed there, that was good enough for him. But Paul admits that he even viewed Jesus in this way. He didn't see Jesus as the self-sacrificing Son of God who loved humanity and was willing to sacrifice himself for humanity. What Paul saw was a rebel and troublemaker ruining the political aspirations of a small and oppressed people. But when the motivation of the gospel and the source of the gospel combined in Paul's life, his perspective changed. And he gained from that the viewpoint of the gospel, that it's not what is on the outside that matters. It's what's on the inside. It's about a changed heart, changed life. You know, recently a call came into the church from someone in true dire straits, and they were out of state. They were literally on the run. And this little family in trouble had nothing but the clothes on their back, literally. That's all they had. They had that and an empty apartment. The office received the call of this person asking for help. And do you know what the response was from this church? What the response was from this body? I mean, this person was hurting. This family was hurting. They were scared. They didn't know what was going to be happening. They got the number, the church's number from the phone book. They didn't know us. As far as I know, they hadn't met someone in the church or met someone from this church that said, "Hey, you're in trouble. Give them a call. Maybe they'll be able to do something." It was out of simple desperation. They picked up the phone, dialed our number, and hoped for the best. And do you know what the response was from this church when that came in? We don't know this person. We don't know anything about their lives. Well, we got a set of sheets from someone, and then a comforter, and then some pillows, and then some more sheets, and then we got beds, and then we got bed frames, and then we got pots and pans, and then we got tables, and we got chairs, and by the time it was done, we were finally having to say, "Stop! We can't take any more. I mean, it was absolutely amazing to watch how this body of believers poured themselves out for someone else. How they recognized that Jesus Christ loves people and that he died for those people that he loves. How they recognize that it's not somebody's situation that determines how we're going to help them or not. It's recognizing that people need Christ. And we will do anything we can to be able to talk to them about Christ. These people were not seen by what they could offer us. They were seen through the loving eyes of Jesus. We're asked simply, how can we help? And then it was given to them. You see, the viewpoint of the gospel looks to a person's heart and not their outward appearance. The source of the gospel looks to others and not self. And the motivation of the gospel looks to Christ's love for humanity. And summarizing all of his thoughts about the gospel, in this fourth comment that Paul makes, he points us toward the end result. The gift of the gospel is new life in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. Succinctly stating what the gospel is in verses 14 through 16, Paul now brings clarity to what the final result will be. It is new life in Christ. And what he is saying is that those who respond to the call of the gospel will be wholly remade. And what we once were will be set aside, and what we now are to be will be put on. It's no mistake that Paul is using the word new creation here. It internally, because of the viewpoint of the gospel, a man, a woman, a child that becomes a Christian is literally recreated inside. If we were able this morning to dive deeper into this passage, we would see that you have one situation in which we had sin imputed to us through Adam. But in coming to Christ, now we have righteousness, we have forgiveness imputed to us through Christ. We are wholly remade. We are new creations in Christ. We have new lives in Christ. And because of that, we should be responding in this new way of living. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Becoming a new Christian doesn't mean that someone is becoming some kind of superhuman spiritual being. What Paul is saying here is, and what we are to understand, is that being new creations and seeing others become new creations, we're becoming like Christ. Loving human beings because of Christ's love for human beings. Living lives that are self-sacrificing for others because Christ self-sacrificed for us. And viewing people not on their outer appearance, but on their inner appearance, as God sees them. My friends, in 2007 and beyond, I ask all of this question. Are you ready to see what God wants to do through a group of people who are ready and willing to love as Jesus loved, sacrifice as Jesus sacrificed, see as Jesus sees, so that someone in this year might know who Jesus is, and recognize the gift of new life that has come for them? I was recently out at TLC with some visiting missionaries that do work in prisons in the country of Ecuador, and they wanted to see how a rehabilitation type center worked within the United States. And we were listening to some of the different things that TLC does for promotion and being able to get funding and just basically letting people know about the ministry that they do. And one thing was said that I simply can't get it out of my head. It's a challenge to me as I keep thinking of what they said. And they said this very simply: we take people where they are at, but we love them enough not to leave them there. My friends, that is the gospel in a nutshell. Let's go take that hill. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that you have provided Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that we have a motivation that is Christ's. I'm so thankful that we have the source of the gospel, which is forgiveness of sin. I'm so thankful, Father, that you have provided for us in ways that we could not even imagine. And I'm thankful, Father, for the privilege that you give us of joining with you in proclaiming this good news to others. I pray, Father, that you would burden us as a people to reach out to this community, to see our neighbors as people that we love because you love them. And as people, Father, who are in desperate need of the gospel of Jesus Christ in their lives, are in desperate need of a Savior. And Father, I pray that you would not allow us to rest until we take time to build relationship with them, until we take time to speak the gospel into their lives. Oh, Father, I pray that burden would fall on all of us. I pray it would fall upon me, that we may see this place transformed, that we may see that church filled, not so that we can feel good about numbers, but, Father, so that we can look around and say, we have some who are rescued. Burden us with that, Father, and I pray that you would give us courage to step out in faith with that. Amen.